Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Sarah Wookie is a creative dancer and choreographer who, when based in Los Angeles, works as a movement consultant to Metro Transit, the underground public transport system, winning over discretionary metro riders to experience the city on public transport beside discovering life on foot. Walking in LA was the means by which Sarah discovered the city when she moved there in 2006. Being a pedestrian in LA is not something that many aspire to. Walking in the city or riding public transit is for those who can't afford a car. Sarah's work as a movement consultant has also taken her indoors to museums and galleries, where she works with museum visitors to explore collections in a more playful way, and out and about in neighbourhoods, working alongside urban planners. Sarah is currently performing at the Raven Road Gallery in London in a historic dance piece devised by Yvonne Rayner in 1966, likened to being a pedestrian, as the performance links day-to-day movements. Why don't we start by you telling me what your enthusiasm is around walking?
I mean, I think for me it's really identified with my moving to Los Angeles, because I have to sort of place myself geographically, so.
Are you from California originally?
No. So I moved to Los Angeles from Amsterdam, where I was living for 10 years. So in Amsterdam, I was biking, obviously, a lot, but I didn't have a car. So when I moved back to the States, to this megalopolis, which is Los Angeles, not having driven in 10 years and having spent most of the last decade before moving on a bike, I sort of figured the only way to kind of understand that city, or get to know it, or even start to like it, because I was quite shocked to have moved to such a huge city, is to walk. That was in 2006. So I basically started a series of wanderings and walks in the city as a way to understand it, or as a way to what I thought was sort of have a tactile relationship to it, like literally my feet on the ground. For me, it was about slowing down and getting to know the city. So I think that's where my love of walking started, oddly enough, because the saying goes, nobody walks in LA.
Tell us a bit about your practice as it is and how that's developed.
Artistic practice.
Mm.
Yeah, I think for me that identifying walking within my practice happened later. I mean, for me, I didn't start walking as an artist because I wanted to make art about walking. I started walking as a citizen of a city that I felt was, for me, on a very personal level, the best way to engage with the city. And it was only later did I start to sort of allow the walking to infiltrate into my artistic practice. I think for me it was important as an artist living in Los Angeles with a background in dance to offer audiences to my work a different perspective on the city as a pedestrian. And so I made performances about my walking which contained a lot of photographs that I took while walking. And it was really a slowed down interpretation of the city that I thought could be another way to experience LA for those who don't walk. So I think that's where I wanted to kind of share this walking experience.
A lot of people would say surely Los Angeles was a city not only now dominated by cars, but actually designed to accommodate the car, and not really to designed in any way to encourage people to walk. So when you started doing this, were you a lone soul, or are the parts of Los Angeles, because for us who don't know Los Angeles, are the parts of Los Angeles that you've specifically walked because they're places that you need to get to know, or were there places that you walked because you were walking in the company of other pedestrians, or was there something more, you know, tell us a bit more. To me, LA is cars.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I think the city is absolutely built for automobile traffic. I was a lot of the time the only one walking on the sidewalk, and I think more than that, I felt if I were seeing other people at that time, I wasn't seeing anyone that looked like me. So I wasn't seeing a lot of Caucasian middle-class women walking alone. And I think that for me says something about walking in Los Angeles is a class issue, which also I think relates to public transit. You know, if you can afford a car, you have a car. And so for me, I think there was this facing the reality of I'm of a certain class and I'm of a certain culture, and where are those people? Why aren't they walking? And I was either oftentimes alone, or I was faced with the reality of being one of my kind but not seeing other people who were like me. Like, where are all the female white women walking? You would go to Los Angeles and people do walk, but I do think it's a, if that makes any sense, I do think it is a related to class and related to income, and people take the bus typically because they don't have a car.
What you've managed to do is you've managed to be commissioned to be a kind of consultant that helps authorities or organizations, correct me if I've got this wrong, institutions animate the spaces that they govern or manage. Yeah? And a lot of this business around trying to animate it is trying to draw people to become pedestrians, to become walkers, and to join in some kind of performance, is it? Or?
No, thanks for that description. I think you're spot on with that, the animation of a of something in order to kind of draw people to ride transit. So my work with the Metro, with the art program at Metro, which is called Metro Art, similar to your Art on the Underground, is to help them expand what already exists, is a series of tours of public art along Metro. Their interest is not so much in educating people about art, but drawing discretionary riders or people who wouldn't normally ride transit onto transit. In order to do that, the thinking is, if you can bring people onto transit or transport and they have a good experience, nobody gets shot, nobody gets mugged, nothing bad happens, they might come back and they might tell their friends about it, and they might start to kind of grow this interest in transit. And some of the things I've been doing with them to kind of expand this notion of tour is to engage the tour goers in more what I might call, I like the word animated, but more kind of working with perception and thinking about ways to perceive the art, but also ways of being together as a group in a social situation. Because in LA, a lot of the times people don't, actually how we're walking now, typically I would never be this close to someone in LA. There's a lot of space and you're typically not in a crowd of people, so people aren't used to being in a contained space with strangers. So it's partly trying to train them in being together in a public space with strangers and a sense of comfort about that, and at the same time creating kind of fun, engaging environment. So the first thing we might do with them is ask them to stand in a circle and then step a little closer and a little closer and a little closer till they're shoulder to shoulder, and sort of explain how in LA we don't have this experience of being in close proximity, and that we can be in close proximity and it can be a comfortable environment and it can be safe. So that's one activity. Another activity might be standing and looking at a mural, which is maybe in one of our train stations, and panning from left to right. And just being aware of one's kind of bodily presence, but also being aware of the art and ways to experience the art. So anything from kind of training as being a pedestrian, or training as being a transit rider, which might sound very humorous to someone living in a city like London, but in LA people just aren't used to going out, being together in public space, riding transit, and noticing that there's art and there's things to enjoy about that. So that's some of the things.
But you've also sort of done work inside museums, haven't you? And galleries. Is that about, you know, helping the museum to help people get around and signing things, or is it more about how to stage or install exhibits in a different way?
I think that really depends on the museum. For example, with the Hammer Museum in Los Angeles, this was a building that was never meant to be a museum. It's part of a corporate office building, and so there were a lot of issues with people finding their way around, as you said, wayfinding or figuring out where to buy the ticket. And so in the project that I did there, which was called Performing Navigations, I worked with an architect to sort of help people orient themselves in the museum, to navigate, and we did that through a series of improvisational movement exercises and mapping, and so that was very specific to that museum. And then my more recent project at the Van Abbe Museum in Eindhoven, which was called Point Punt, that was about and I had a lot of freedom with that museum to sort of do whatever I wanted, which was great. There wasn't an agenda of the museum. All they wanted was a self-led walking tour. And so I became very interested in the possibilities of bodily positions in the museum, because I felt, as a choreographer, dancer, this sensitivity to the fact that I'm very constrained in museums in terms of what I'm allowed to do physically. I mean, we are in public space as well.
Sort of social mores.
If I were to do a cartwheel in the middle of a, you know, a platform on the tube, probably I'd call attention to myself and I might be reprimanded, maybe not. But sort of what kind of social behavior is allowed? And so in this museum, in the Van Abba, I worked again with the same architect, Rennie Tang, to suggest through a guidebook that people can pick up when they come into the museum, and they sort of wear this guidebook in a little pouch of suggested acts of lounging, doing a headstand. So for that project, it was very much more kind of a playful look at what is allowed, what can you do physically in a museum to not necessarily get another perspective of the artwork, but to have a certain kind of agency in the museum as a museum goer and to explore those kind of possibilities.
With the museum that you're talking about, or the gallery you were talking about in LA, was that a commission from the museum itself, or was it to try to help the actual physical design of the building, or was it more to help the curators or the interpreters? Who was your audience? Sorry.
No, that's a really good question. And it's something I think about a lot, is sort of where is the artist who works with the body or movement or dance? Where are they placed within the museum, under which department? Because I think each department has a different agenda. And for that project, that was actually through the education department, and it was built as a workshop, which took place on a day that the museum was open. And so we had participants who signed up to do the workshop, and then we had general public who were in the museum that could join, and some of them did, or observed. And so we had a kind of mix of those who volunteered to take part in the project and those who just happened to be there on the day. But it's interesting to me that in the Hammer Museum in LA, there is a new department called Public Engagement, and I think this is something you might start to notice here as well. I think some museums are also doing this sort of kind of new direction and thinking about how to engage the public. And so this I find quite fascinating, is how do you sort of create a situation where you can invite people in without forcing something and make it really inviting, but then also fulfilling this need of the museum, which is to increase, you know, visitor numbers, and always having to balance those agendas or those desires or those needs between the artist and the institution. And so those are discussions that I'm always really quite happy to have. And I think we're in a very interesting time when museums are looking to artists who work with the body and walking and movement and dance as a way to engage their audiences. But how do you do that in an ethical way?
That's kind of the work that I'd like to be doing. And I've sort of started to make, I wouldn't say inroads, but at least, you know, approaches to people. And one of the things I talk about is how we can bring the museum to go out into the community, which many of them do already, but also how we can get engagement where people not only walk through the museum, but walk through the neighborhood surrounding the museum, and then look for ways in which there can be connection.
Can I add on to that, though? Because I think there's a project that might be interesting to you with the same museum I've been speaking about in Los Angeles, is they just got a significant grant to work in the neighborhood, which is called Westwood. It's close to the University of California, Los Angeles, but it's a neighborhood that, for whatever reason, retail has moved out. It's sort of, it's a kind of a failing neighborhood, and the museum got a significant grant to do projects within storefronts in the neighborhood and to activate the neighborhood. So I think it can be possible, and it's just a great way of the museum kind of extending itself and taking some responsibility also for its presence in the neighborhood. So I like that idea.
Well, I was going to say, because something else that's going on in America is there's a huge enthusiasm now for the idea of walkability and trying to re-engineer the downtowns of American cities and towns, you know, what we would call towns, but they call cities too. You know, smaller, not necessarily huge megalopolis, but, you know, smaller cities, to try to animate the downtown and make it more pedestrian friendly.
About downtown LA, people moving to downtown because things are accessible, they get rid of their car, you know, they kind of do their shopping locally, and those trends are happening. And it reminds me of the Being Pedestrian project. Yeah, that project grew out of another project that I worked on with an urban planner. And you know, because you're coming from planning, it pops into my head. So Being Pedestrian was born out of a project called, it was in Hollywood, I can't remember the exact name, something about Actions of Time and Space, very poetic title. Actions of Time and Space on Hollywood Boulevard, which was going
along the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, exactly, okay. With the stars and
embedded
in the sidewalk, which is an area that I would typically avoid as a local because it's so highly touristic. But at the same time, I love this boulevard because there are these stars embedded in the sidewalk and people touch them and they take photos of their hands on the stars, and it's this very tactile, the stars in the sidewalk was this tactility that was so exciting to me, that people were actually not only walking in that neighborhood because the tourists go out and they take photos of the sidewalk, but they're actually touching it, putting their hands in Grauman's Chinese Theater where the handprints of stars are. And so I started to really love this area that I was avoiding for so long, and invited an urban planner, Deborah Murphy, to work with me on a tour of the boulevard where she talked about gentrification in the neighborhood and what was happening and how Hollywood was moving from being this kind of seedy, full of character, slightly edgy place to this more expensive kind of urban, professional loft condos going out place, and trying not to have an opinion about that, but just informing people of what was happening in the neighborhood. And then my role was to try to activate what she was describing. So she would describe, for example, what urban planners often talk about, sort of the problems of the neighborhood. And the problems of the neighborhood were you couldn't get across the street easily because there were these mid-block crossings, but there were no stop signs and stop lights. You had to cross four lanes of traffic. So she would say, well, here's what we've got. This is the situation. I'd say, okay, everybody, let's line up in single file. I'll take the lead. Deborah will take the rear. We're going to zigzag slowly across the mid-block crossing. And we're going to put our hand up, we're going to make eye contact with the drivers, which people are afraid to do in LA, and then we're going to put our other hand up. And we sort of created this performance moment where we were kind of engaging ourselves as pedestrians and having a place in the neighborhood and taking that space. And so that project then became Being Pedestrian, and pedestrian as a word is right quite banal, like nobody wants to be pedestrian. So the idea was how to create this project where being a pedestrian was something people wanted to do in LA. And we got assigned a place, an area in downtown called South Park by the Community Redevelopment Agency, which was an area that was being redeveloped, and said, here's the area, make a project, here's your budget. So you're hired as artist by the city to do this. And I just want to again be real about it and say that area is an area that I had an artist studio in downtown because it was really cheap. And here I was making an art project in the neighborhood, you know, buying coffee locally and wanting a little snack here and there and feeding the neighborhood, and realizing, and I'm basically contributing to gentrification in the neighborhood, thinking, well, you know, here I am, the artist who moves in when it's cheap, and then I'm going to be the artist who moves out because I can't afford anymore. And that actually happened a couple years later. I was there for a total of 5 years. So this funny relationship that artists have with neighborhoods and gentrification, and again, like potential class divisions that happen in neighborhoods. And so I think it's a curious but very complex relationship that I felt as an artist working in these neighborhoods. But the project was leading walks in the neighborhood and engaging people with activities like the mid-block crossing zigzag, the panning of architecture, and just creating a sense of play and wonder as a pedestrian in this neighborhood. And we worked with community groups, people who knew each other, who lived together, worked together in the neighborhood. And our number one activity, which was our claim to fame, was hooking arms. I think we have to do it. That's the only way to experience it. Okay, so Andrew, are you comfortable walking backwards?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we hook arms.
Okay, we hook arms, walk backwards.
But you have to turn around if we're going to go that
way.
So
okay, I have to turn around.
Yeah, or we can do this. Yeah. No, here we go. There we go.
Okay.
So I'm going to walk forward. You'll be walking backwards.
Oh, great.
There we go.
Okay.
So the point of this exercise as part of the Being Pedestrian project was to, one, again, create a situation where people were walking together. These were groups who knew each other, so you weren't hooking arms with a complete stranger. It was someone you probably worked with or lived in the same building with. You shared something in common. And then the person who's walking backwards, what's your experience?
The feet on the ground and the experience of having trust in you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. How is it different from walking forward?
It's different, isn't it? It's different. So I can't see where I'm going. So I'm entirely really trusting that you're not going to walk me into something. And it's interesting, I don't know whether we've managed to pick a spot, but everyone seems to have fled. So I'm not sure whether people are looking at us thinking we're completely bananas or...
It goes back to the what's socially acceptable, right?
Yes, yes.
One thing I noticed too, like you really feel the feet somehow differently for me. Like you, it just, I'm aware of my feet when I'm walking backwards, and also the, feels like a film moving in reverse or something visually different. But thanks for participating in that.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the kind of consultancy work you've done.
You know, the word consultant sounds so uninteresting, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It sounds actually so important as well. Kind of like the word too. I mean, it suggests a level of coming in with some level of, I guess, expertise in something particular. And that's exciting for me because being someone who has a background in contemporary dance, I find it fascinating that I'm working for a transit agency and that there really is something that connects my dance practice to what I'm doing there. It's not separate. So I try to think of my art practice as all-encompassing to everything. So whether I'm teaching or, for lack of a better word, consulting or making what looks like an art piece or a dance performance, that I'm coming to all of this work or these projects with a certain way of thinking and experiencing the world that feeds into all of them. So I'm trying to keep an expansive view. And I also need to make a living, so work must happen. And I think at the moment I'm in an interesting place because I'm doing several projects that have connecting dots to them. So for example, performing this historic dance work from 1966 by Yvonne Rainer, which is very pedestrian. It's been called very pedestrian because it's basic movements, everyday movements that are strung together in a sequence. So that's exciting to me, how that connects then to my walking projects, which then connects to my work with Metro.
I usually ask people to recommend a couple of walks or a couple of places to walk or a couple of ways of walking. Have you got a suggestion for listeners that you'd like to share from all your...
Does it matter where it is?
No, it doesn't matter where. It can be in your imagination, if maybe.
One thing that's been fun for me that I might suggest for people is almost push the boundaries a bit, or what is an epic walk? Like, what would an epic walk be? Would that be, you know, distance, or would that be climbing a hill, or would that be, I don't know, maybe walking backwards with 50 people? Or, I mean, sort of how kind of playful could you get with thinking about extending this notion of walking and of being out and kind of experiencing the world in these ways? Because for me, my urban walking has been really exciting, but I've really enjoyed these more kind of epic walks, like walking 25 miles up a hill and scaling a couple thousand feet elevation, which for me is a totally different kind of walking. So I don't know if I have anything specific, but maybe just putting the prompt out for what would be an epic walk.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Sarah Wookie. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stark of Rethinking Cities Limited. Our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.